Paul said, be careful about singing songs that ain't true. He said, that's a lie. So I don't know. Yeah, it could be true, brother. I mean, we sing songs because the gospel songs, we try to encourage each other and lift each other and things like that. But there is a certain sense of truth to that. There is. He always, his pet peeve was that song, more than anything. I got to make it. His folks in there couldn't come to church. They're going to go to heaven no more than anything. You know? Well, it's a tie. They think that's something you wear. Of course, he didn't tie it either, so I don't know. Just a point I'm trying to make there. Amen. Won't you open to Job 14, chapter 14? I might preach more than 10 minutes tonight. I don't plan on going much longer than that. Preach an hour, preach 10 minutes. If the response is the same, what's it matter? We'll get you out of here, let you go home and go to bed. Or God could step down in this place and somebody might get help. Anybody come needing help tonight? I did. Came with my cup open tonight. I've been praying, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Ain't that a strange prayer to pray? That's why I've been praying, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I don't care who thinks I'm not full. That's why I'm praying, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Because I feel like I got more room. I got some empty space. Too much flesh in there. I've been praying, take me to the cross. Kill all that and then fill it all with the Holy Ghost. So that's all I'm wanting right now. Tonight, anyway, I hope and pray that it's this way tomorrow. And I'd like to think that if I wake up and I feel just a little bit of that desire waning, instead of not praying, I'd like to think that I'd go to God in prayer even more fervently. Say, God, I see the fire going down a little. He'll send the fire. Job 14:13. My text is going to be verse 14, but I'd like to read maybe 13 and 14, and maybe 15. Job said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Does anybody know what Job's talking about when he says the work of thine hands? He's talking about himself, Brother Johnson. He's the work of God's hands. You're the work of God's hands tonight. And Job said, thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Amen. I'll have to preach this 3 or 4 times, I guess, to get it all preached. I want to preach out of verse 14. I'm waiting till my change come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. And you know my heart tonight. And you know the hearts of each of these individuals here tonight. You know those that are ready to go to heaven. I would like to think that the vast majority here are. You also know those here tonight, that if there be those here tonight, you haven't revealed to me anything explicit. And I pray that you search hearts. Leave nothing undone. Sweep it all up. Show us, God, our sins. Let us feel them. I pray for encouragement to be in the house tonight. Would you lift us? Would you help us? If not, we're spinning our wheels. We're wasting our time. It's just another get-together. Father, I'm expecting you to help us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a book. Book of Job. Just really gripped my heart. Book of Job. 42 chapters. Probably 38 of them. 39 is a conversation between four men. Job, his three comforters, Eli, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliab, I guess his name Eliab. It's just slipped me. Life fast. Three men. They're his buddies. And I'll tell you now, with friends like that, you do not need enemies. No, sir. And then you get down here later on in the book, somewhere in the top 30s. 33, looks like 32. 33, a young whippersnapper named Elihu comes along. Actually, chapter 32, but he really cuts in there on verse 33. So he's actually four of them. Three buddies that sat with him for 7 days before they spoke a word. They came up on Job and they didn't even recognize him. Is that Job? And had to draw nigh to him to even see who he was. Did you know that life will change you? Isn't that what they said about Naomi when she came back to Bethlehem? Said, is that Naomi? Hard times will change you. It'll change you for the worst if you let it. It'll hurt you. Job, it's almost like a roller coaster ride going through this book. It's hard to discern a lot of the things that are said. You've got these other four men beside Job that are talking, and you don't know what to take as gospel, what not to, because most of it is scorn. Most of it is them just ripping Job apart. And Job is a man who is suffering. He's a man that's hurting. And I dare say that he has a reason to feel despondent like he does, a man who has lost 10 children, a man who has lost all of his cattle, his home. And I'll just be honest with you, when you lose 10 kids, you don't care about your house anymore. You don't care about all your camels and oxen and all of that. You lose your 10 kids, that's life. You don't know how to continue. And I'm just going by, I think, common sense there. This man loved them children. He sacrificed for them. He offered for them. He said, just in case they sin, I'm going to offer for them. And I think that the thing that dazzles my mind, or even sometimes perplexed my mind, was as I'm reading all of this, and I'm trying to take it all in. And I have to go back to those first couple chapters where I find out that it's God that allows this to happen. It's hard for me to understand all this. And it's really confusing. Because Job is a man that's now sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And he's taken pieces of pots that's been broken. Potsherd, the Bible called it. And he's scraping himself because of the boils that's rose up on his skin. He's itching so bad that he's digging into his own flesh. And his hygiene is gone. He's just sitting in the ashes, and he's got ashes on his head and dirt on his face. And this man is hurting. This man's suffering. And nobody wants anything to do with him. In our text here tonight, and it's just been on my heart for a few days, he makes this comment, I'm waiting until my change comes. I'm waiting for this time. I'm waiting for this moment. The things are going to change. But when you read the entire book, this seems to be out of place. Because Job is continuously saying, I wish I was a dead man. I wish God would let me die. I wish I'd never been born. He said, I cursed the day that I came from my mother's womb. These are the things that he continuously says over and over and over. And in the midst of all of this, he says, I believe a change is going to come. Now, the very fact that he's waiting for a change lets us know he's needing a change. And it's not too hard to figure out a man that's going through the things that he's going through and he's suffering like he's suffering. He needed a change. I wept again as I read, and he said, Lord, I wish it was like it used to be. He said that. Joe said, there was a time when I walked down the streets, he said, the young men hid themselves from me out of respect, out of holy fear. He said, the wise men, he said, the learned, they shut their mouths when I walked into their presence. He talked about the intellectuals and the holy, said they hushed their mouth, put their hands over their mouth when he came into the presence. They waited to hear him. Job said, as a man waits for the rain to drop. They waited to hear his words of wisdom. They were people that had reverence for this man of God. And he said, why? He said, because I stretched my hand out to the poor. He said, I took care of the fatherless. I fed those that needed food. He said, no one that came to me needing help was left without getting help. And they realized Job was a man that helped people. Job was a man of influence. Job was a man that knew some things about God. And when he was in their presence, they shut their mouths and said, I want to hear what Job has to say. Job said, oh, I wish I could go back to that. Job, you can't go back. It's not possible. Well, I don't feel like peeling into it all tonight. I really don't. It's just so taxing. Usually leaves me burdened and drained when I begin to open my heart up to the sufferings in the house of God and see things. There's people here tonight need a spiritual change so bad. Going to go straight to hell. Straight to hell. People here tonight losing their joy. You just let life just crush you. Just drain you. Suck the life right out of you. And if you're not careful, you'll say, oh, I wish I could go back to when I had the power of the Holy Ghost. I wish I could go back to the time when things were a little easier. And I had a little bit more money in my pocket. And the bills wasn't so high. I tell you what, I've been praying. I've been saying, God, I'd like to go back where folks really cared what the preacher had to say. I've been praying, Lord, I'd like to go back to the place where the man of God could preach and hearts melted like wax on fire. Where God could entrust the church with sinners again. That we saw the baptism in the Holy Ghost on the altars again. I've been praying, Lord, I'd like to go back. God says you don't have to go back. You can have it now. And it can be real today. And we're always thinking about back, back. Job finally in chapter 14, verse 14, said, I'm waiting for a change. I'm not waiting for God to take me back. He said, God, I'm here now. I've got problems now. And I believe that you can take this thing and turn it around for me. That's what Job said. He said, I'm waiting. Now, you know, what is it? What is it that's got you there? Have a change. Most of the time, change is in you. You know that. Even if the conditions change, I've seen people. I'm a firm believer that people need to take a break. Need to take a vacation. Need to go take some time off. I believe strongly that a husband and wife need to get a babysitter and go and just go off and spend some time together. I think it's priceless. But I've seen them that were so tired. So spent. They said, if I can just take that vacation. And they go on that vacation and they come back. And they're just as tired. And they're just as weary. And they're just as spent. Because the change that they needed was not external. The change that they needed was internal. That's where it's at. You see, rest don't come from a vacation. And I was thinking yesterday, man, I'd love to have a few. few days off. And maybe the Lord will work that out soon. And you'll see somebody else preaching in here on a Sunday. But that's not where real true rest comes from. In the book of Hebrews, God said to us, the church, He said, there is a rest. But He was not talking about Tennessee or the Florida Keys or wherever you want to go. He was talking about an inward rest, a Sabbath that's perpetual, a Sabbath that don't go 1 week and you come home and it's the same bump and grind and wear and tear. It's a Sabbath that you wake up even in hell, in trial. And for some reason your face shines like a light. And you say, even if He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And people look at you and they say, help me. And you're in worse condition than they are. But you have peace and they don't. And they look at you and think they're worse than you are. And you just smile and say, I'm going to be praying for you. There's a rest for the people of God. And the people of God are not entering into that rest. The people of God are text messaging during church services. The people of God are sneaking out the back door so they can go to the restroom and talk to somebody and text somebody. And they're coming in here and talking about this and worrying about bills and worrying about sickness and worrying about all those things. And God said, I'm a healer. And we say, God, can you heal me? God said, why are you asking? I've told you over and over and over, I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee. Amen. We're not playing with some genie tonight. You rub a little bottle and a genie pop out. We're talking about the God of heavens. The Word of God said three times that the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, much less explain Him. And He is my Father tonight. Oh, I'm the apple of His eye. He loves me. I've been telling Him, say, God, you're gonna move for me. Because you love me so much. And I've been down here telling you how much I love you. I've been reading that Bible. And I know God cannot fail. His promises cannot fail. But you know what He sees most of the time when we're down here praying? We're down here, some of these little puppy dog eyes. And nothing going right. And everything's bad. And everything's terrible. That's what He sees when we come to Him. But it ought to be the same look that I give Sister Lamb. With that, I love you, baby. I mean, you just cheered me up. So beautiful. She thinks because she's 7 months along. I love her. That's where we ought to look at God more so. The twinkle in our eyes. Some of you lost your twinkle. You lost it. See, somewhere between this and that, you got something stuck in between you and God tonight. You can't smile because you're looking at the wrong thing. You're not in awe because you're looking at the wrong thing. Job, if you look at ashes and you look at sackcloth and you look at the potsherd and the blood and the boils and you look at your house that's been collapsed and you look at the 10 tombstones, there's no possible way to smile. Talk to those 10 spies. They go down there and say, man, there's giants down there. Two old men said, I'll tell you what now. God's going to give us that land lickety-split. Let's go. 10 of them didn't have a glimpse. Didn't have a twinkle in their eye. Two of them did. They've been romancing with God. They said, my God can do anything. I say the devil didn't like Caleb and Joshua too much. No. All them years, 40 years, round and round we go. Two old gray-headed grandpas with all them young whippersnappers. They said, come on, Papa, Caleb. We're going to carry you in. Said, come on, Papa, Joshua, we're going to carry you in. What a testimony. Thousands, millions of graves out there in the wilderness. Two men. Said, I will trust God. It took 40 years. But old Joshua, Caleb, I'll tell you this something. I think it's Caleb. He came up that mountain. He said, set his fist down. He's an old man. He said, I'm as strong today as I was back then. Give me his mountain. We've lost that in the church. Some of you can't even smile tonight. You're so burned. I don't want to look at some of y'all. You're killing me. I had to get down and pray one of them. I said, Lord, something that's trying to jump on me tonight. I've been spending too much time with God around here to let that jump on me tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. I feel His presence. One of the things that we struggle with is learning that we get ourselves in a mess and we want God to snap His fingers and pop us out of it. God don't work that way. He does sometimes. God would like to see us prove ourselves to Him. And it's going to take longer than 1 week, 1 day. You know, how many needs to change tonight? Deep down. Deep down. I've been needing one so bad. I'm not there yet. But I feel a turn. I feel a slight turn. I feel a slight turn. You need a change. So he says, I'll wait. I'll wait. Now that's a subject to preach about, isn't it? Waiting. How many of y'all like to wait for things? Anybody? I know Sister Green loves to wait. She just cross her arms, her legs, just wait. Oh, I hate to wait. Say, God, give me patience and give it to me in a hurry. Give it to me now. Waiting is important. How you wait is very important. Complacency toward God is a terrible thing. Complacency in God is a wonderful thing. What I mean by complacency is not a real desire to go anywhere or do anything. If you're in Him and you're complacent to be in Him, that's a nice thing. Say, God, I'm happy right here. You ain't got to send me nowhere. You ain't got to do nothing. Don't have to talk to me. Just let me feel your presence right now. Just real complacent. I'm in a hurry to go to church. I'm in your glory. But our problem is we wait with complacency toward God. You see, we think of waiting, we think of laying down on the couch and taking a nap until they call. You know, and then you wake up and you try to, you know, cough a little bit to get your voice ready and jump on the phone and talk and those sort of things when you're waiting or you drink your coffee or sit around twiddling your thumbs when you're waiting. And that's the way we are. We've got this terrible thing. This lack, this longing, whatever it is, if it's external, internal. We need to change terribly bad. But we wait the wrong way. Some of you just shut down. You quit praying. You don't fast. How long is it you read this book right here? Really read it. You know, well, I read 3 verses a day no matter what. Well, at that rate, you'll get through the Bible in about 45 years. Some of y'all laughing. And y'all saying, man, I wish I read 3 scriptures a day. At least they're going to get through it in 45 years, you know what I mean? And it's easy to shut down, isn't it? It's easy to just sit in the dirt. How are you doing? I'm just waiting. Waiting on what? I'm waiting on God to come by. That's not the right way to wait. You come into the house of God, just sit. Maybe you do your thing and sit. Maybe you don't do a thing and sit. That's even worse. What are you doing? I'm just waiting. It's not the way to wait. The proper way to wait, they either wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. You don't renew your strength sitting and doing nothing. You come to God with the spirit of worship. You pray. You seek His face every day. There ought not be a person in this house that claims to be saved. I'm just going to pull a number. I got no scripture for this, so you don't have to take it. I think it's good wisdom. I think every Christian ought to pray at least an hour a day. If they got to break it up into 6 10-minute intervals. I really believe so. An hour? That ain't very long. That's not very long at all, as a matter of fact. Not very long at all. But we shut down. But I feel like preaching tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house, and I think I've preached longer than 10 minutes tonight. And I ain't even got close to being done yet. How you wait is very important. How are you waiting? What are you doing? What is it that you're doing? How do you expect to get out of this predicament you're in? I'll tell you how you're going to get out of it. You're going to be faithful to the house of God. You're going to be faithful in your tithes. You're going to be faithful to your brethren. You're going to be faithful in every area. You're going to be a prayer warrior. You're going to seek the face of God. That's how you wait. You don't wait by saying, man, it's so bad, I can't even pray anymore. You pray when you feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it. Because if you don't wait right, you're going to be waiting for a very, very long time. But I'd like to tell you tonight that if you wait right, there will be an appointed time. That's what Job said. He said, I'm waiting for my appointed time. God's going to set me an appointed time, and He's going to come through. He said, oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave. That's where some of you like to be, in a grave, where there's no adversity, where there's no fight, there's no war. Let me tell you something, if you're breathing air tonight, you're going to fight the good fight of faith, or you're going to fight a fight that you lose in. But whether you like it or not, there's going to be a battle in your life. You can try to hide if you want to. David said, oh, that had wings like a dove. He said, I'd fly away. But you know what I realized? You can fly anywhere you want to fly. But when you get there, you're still going to be there. And as long as you're there, you still got trouble. I don't care where you go. I don't care what continent you fly to. I don't care what job you switch to. If you've got internal problems, it's going to be there whether you're making 100 G a year. I don't care what you're doing. If you're the problem, it's going to always be there unless you get a change in your life. Hide me, God. He ain't going to hide you. He's going to strip you. And He's going to stick you out there in the sand. He's going to put you out there without a house. He's going to strip you of everything and put you in sackcloth and ashes for everybody to walk by you and laugh at you. Job said when it was over, he said, the young ones laughed at me and mocked me to scorn. I was in derision. He said they spit in his face. That's what he said. He said, they spit in my face. If you want God to hide you, He ain't going to hide you. He's going to stick you right out there. Right out there to let everybody see what you've got and what you're made of. They one time hid from Him. Now they're spitting in His face. And saying, oh, Job, I thought you was the big shot. I thought you was the big man. Job says, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. That thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Job still has hope. I read this verse of scripture. I just about shouted. You see, in all the complaints, I mean, Job has y'all got to shout amen to that if you ain't going to say amen to nothing else. He has some real problems. You know what I mean? He's going through it. I mean, you ought to hear some of the things that he's talking about. At one place he said, I spent all my days without hope. Not a bit of hope. Another place he said, I'm tired of life. Tired of living. I don't want to live anymore. What a life. For a man of God who one time had everything, now he's been stripped to nothing. But somehow or another, he looks up to God and he says, God, oh God, would you mark it on your calendar? Would you take your calendar out and would you put a little check on one of them days and write inside that, this is Job's day. This is Job's hour. I believe God did just that. I believe God did just that. It's a shame when God can't test the church without her falling apart. It's a shame. Job is in this condition because Satan said, you got a hedge about him. I can't touch him. God said, not no more. You can do anything you want to do to him. Don't touch his flesh. But Job handled the enemy like a pro. And the enemy, and Satan crawls himself back into the throne of God. He's all crybaby, and you know. And then God said, what's the matter with you? He said, I'm going to and fro on the earth, up and down in it. I'm trying to find somebody to destroy. God said, you think about Job? I just try to work him over, but you won't let me touch him. You let me touch him, he'll curse you to your face. He said, go ahead, just don't take his life. Oh, God ought to be able to let us be tested. Tried without falling all apart. Say, God, would you let me learn something in this? Would you let me learn something in this? Get you some sackcloth. Get you some ashes. My God, go out in the front yard and just sit out there with a bucket on your head. Do something. Fast for 100 days. Don't drink no water, no food. Just don't. Go crazy. Quit your job. Pray 24 hours a day. Don't die, Job. What's more important? What's really important to you? Where are you drawing your strength from? Job said, I believe God is going to set an appointed time. He's going to remember me. In verse 14, it took me just a little bit of praying on this to really get a grip on it. I thought this question was out of whack. It just seems to be out of place. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again? I was thought, Job, are you wanting to die? You've been talking about dying all this time, but this looks like hope. Job was saying, God, if you kill me, I'm not going to be able to do anything good for you. That's exactly what he's saying. In his heart, Brother Scott, Job said, I don't want to die. I'm not sitting here and dying. I'm not sitting here at this gate dying. I know I'm an old bug-eyed leper with my toes fell off, my hands all rotten, and then my face all rotten, and I got to cry, leper, leper, leper. They said, why sit we here till we die? If I'm going to wait for something good to happen, it's going to be me walking into that city and letting God show me who God is. It ain't going to be sitting there at this gate and letting the enemy rock my world and letting every storm in the world come by. If I'm going to wait, you better believe I'm going to get up in that high tower. I'm going to crawl up into my refuge and I'm going to be inside Him. I'm going to be feeling the power of the Holy Ghost. If I'm going to wait, you're going to have to get me inside God if you're going to get to me.
I don't care to wait inside Him.
But it's when you get out there in the elements that He rocks you. And you got nothing left. And then you quit praying. And you've got no way to get inside the high tower. You stop praying. And there's no way to get inside the cleft of the rock. But through prayer. And through seeking His face. And yes, it's weary. And yes, it's hard. But you cry out to Him, God, I'm here. I'm sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Will you appoint me a time? Will you remember me? So what are you doing? I'm waiting for my change.
My God, that lets me know He's got faith. He's got some faith. It's bad now, buddy, but I'm waiting. It's going to happen. Why? Because it has to happen. I love Job, man. Them guys was rocking him. I mean, every time, every chapter. I went with my pen. I wrote above the chapter who was talking. Zophar, Laphaz, Bildad. And they're telling Job, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You know what one of them said, Brother Scott? One of them said, buddy, if God gave you all you deserve because of all your sins, it'd be a lot worse than it is now. All that Job went through, his buddy said, you ain't got nothing like you deserve. It sounds like a Calvinist and an Arminian fighting. You read and you'll find out. I mean, those three buddies are saying, Job, you're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. You can't go without sin. You're wicked. Job said, I'm righteous. And my doctrine is pure. I mean, Job said, I may be down and out. I'm still living holy for God. I'm still living righteous before God. And they wagged their heads. And they mocked Job. And they got mad because he said, I'm holy. I'm righteous. God is with me. I know I'm down. And I'm not out yet. They didn't like it at all. And I'm going to tell you, the highlight for me in the book of Job. Y'all done heard? All right. Chapter 4. Old fat mouth of life fans. Starts running his mouth. I mean, he ran his mouth so much he did in chapter 5 too. Chapter 6, Job. Job said what he had to say. Chapter 7, Job. Verse 8, Bildad. He jumps in there running his mouth, says, if thy children have sinned against him, he had cast them away for their transgression. Told him he wasn't sacrificing. Verse 9, Job comes on the scene. He's trying to defend himself the best that he can. He's getting hammered on every side. He's sitting here for 7 days. They didn't speak to him because they could tell he was so grieved. At the end of 7 days, they were so pious. They said, can't we sit here any longer? We must correct Job. And so then we come to chapter 10. Job is talking. And then there comes loudmouth Zophar in chapter 11. He has to run his mouth at Job and tell him what he thinks. Chapter 12, we find Job talking again. Chapter 13, chapter 14, and in chapter 15, Eliphaz has to spout off a few more accusations toward Job. And then we see chapter 16, chapter 17, Job is defending himself again. And then old Bildad's got to jump in there and jump on him again. It's like some vultures trying to pick apart a dead man. And it's one from this side and one on that side. And they're pounding him. And in verse chapter 19, Job answers again. Chapter 20, Zophar comes. I wish we'd shout tonight. And Zophar has to tell him what he thinks about the situation. And in chapter 21, Job steps up again and tries to fight it out. And in chapter 22 comes and Eliphaz rocks him again. And then in chapter 23, chapter 24, Job, he tries to defend himself from that verbal attack. And then we find chapter 25, Bildad again. This one. And Job is giving it all he's got. Bildad, chapter 25. Job, chapter 26, chapter 27, chapter 28. Chapter 29, chapter 30. He's on a roll now. He's starting to get a little bit of encouragement. He's got some momentum going. Chapter 31, it's still Job. Chapter 32 comes along, and here comes a new guy. See, the Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz are getting tired. So the enemy sends old young buck Elihu down. And Elihu is full of wisdom, he thinks. And he rebukes Job, and he rebukes the comforters. And he tells him, oh, you're wrong because you couldn't get Job to repent. You couldn't get Job to confess anything. And so he rebukes them all. And the Bible gives him chapter 33 and chapter 34, chapter 35, chapter 36, chapter 37. All of that is a rebuke of Job. And then chapter 38, the Bible says, then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. He stopped the confusion and said, it's time for the change to come. You rocked him long enough, and he came down in a hurricane. He came down in a tornado. And said, this man is my man. You leave him alone. And I had camp meeting all by myself. God, I've got 37 chapters. Over top of 37 chapters. You see, life. All over. As I wrote, God,
above that. God trumps it all. God trumps every disease. Cancer speaks and God trumps it. Crohn's disease speaks, but God trumps it. I don't care what it is. A heavy heart, God speaks from a whirlwind. And He says, I've given you long enough, devil. You've wore on Him and you've tore on Him. You've stripped them down. You've beat them. You've worked them till they can't hardly do anything. And you've kept them out of the house of God. And you've done this and you've done that. Job said, I'm waiting for my change to come. And tell you what the change is. The change is not a raise. The change is not a new house. The change is when God speaks it in a word. When God steps down in a whirlwind. And He says, it is enough. He said, a life is over and Bill Dead, you sacrifice. This is my man. We'll not talk about him again. In chapter 42, we don't see a man in sackcloth and ashes. We see a man who's got twice as much as he ever had. 10 more children, twice as many houses, twice everything. Because God came on the scene. I'm done. Stand across the house. God, I pray for encouragement. In Jesus' name, I pray for faith to rise in the hearts of each of these people. I pray for faith to rise. Faith. Faith, 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 faith. Not faith in Brother Lamb, not faith in the singers, not faith in the preacher, but faith in my change. It's getting ready to come, my change. My change is getting ready to come. Help me to believe You, God. Help me to believe You. It's unbelievable. This book. Job. In the end, buddy, you win. What Job said? He said, I wish that they'd write my words down in the book. He said that. He said, I wish they'd write this down in the book. They did, Job. 42 chapters. Some say this lasted as long as 3 years. Not the conversation, the trial. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Job has spent 42 chapters talking about how angry God was at him. God said, Job, I'm not angry with you. He said, Lamb is going to preach on the 11th day of November 2008. There's going to be some people there that needs a change in their life. God said, Job, I'm just paraphrasing, obviously. He said, Job, I'm not cruel. I love you, Job. But after this, son, you're going to be stronger than you've ever been. I wish we had chapter 43. I'm about tempted to write it. Did I ever tell y'all what I thought chapter 43 of this book would sound like? I think I did. All I'd do is copy and paste chapter 1, snatch it over there. It'd read something like this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God. And it was chapter 43. And I'm going to skip on down here a little bit. Talk about his sons. He's still got sons and daughters. He's still sanctified, still sacrificing. Chapter 43. Verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sisters, chapter 43. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That's 8 verses. They'd be 9 verses in chapter 43. The 9th verse would be, Satan said, no. No. And then it'd say, the end. My God. You got to get up. You got to believe. It's not God's will for you to die in the wilderness. They were tired and weary of the way. It gets weary. I've been preaching about the branches and God purges them. It's not an easy thing. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Whatever you're going through at this moment, this too shall pass. In Jesus' name.
Holy Ghost, love to help us here tonight. What are you doing?
I'm waiting for my change to come. Are you going to give up? No. I'm waiting for my change to come. I'm going to seek His face. I'm going to seek His face. I'm going to cry up to Him. Oh. Some of you probably could say, devil, God has given you 37 chapters. But chapter 38 is going to change everything. And I don't even need the entire chapter. All I need is the words, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. God told Job, get up, Job. It's time for your change. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little longer. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I trust you, God. I gave you my life, but I surrendered. And I said, I'll serve you all the days of my life. I gave you my life, Lord. And if you choose to take my houses and my children, I won't like it. It'll hurt me. Oh, but God, I'm expecting you to come down in a whirlwind. You're going to trump all these lies the enemy have told me. I'll tell you, the enemy will lie to you. Oh, he'll accuse you of things you never did. He'll tell you that things are going to go a whole entirely different way than what they're going to go. But then God comes on the scene. Oh, Holy Ghost, take this place, would you? Would you break down hearts tonight? When pains of death seize on my soul, unto the Lord I cry. Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Since Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied.
As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. And in stand with the courage bold, I stood. Oh, well, I would not be denied. My change is coming. I would be denied. I won't die in this wilderness. Jesus came and He made me whole. I would. Oh, the enemy lied to you and say this is never going to break. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy always comes in the morning. How can that be? Because God said it. That's right, God said it, Job. God says that it will happen. Would not be denied. I would not be denied. Job said, the thing I feared the worst has come upon me. Oh, the thing that I feared has come upon me. Chapter 42. There was a dozen of them, 10 kids. God can restore it. I say it this way, God will restore it. Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. An instant with a courage bold, I stood upon His word. No, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. If Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Pains of death seize on my soul. The Lord, I cry. If Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. If Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's the way you wait right there. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessing, what a peace is mine, leaning on everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure. All along, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting God. Leaning, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. Leaning, I'm leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning.